Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Congress remains on recess until next week, the start of 2016. That means nothing terrible can happen, or depending on your point of view, nothing good. But the year ending has been a roller coaster for Congress, no less than the nation. For a look at some of the most significant congressional actions in 2015 affecting the government itself, we turn to Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. David, it has been a year. Remember that old TV show, This Was the Week That Was? That's kind of been the past year, hasn't it?
Well, I guess every year is that to one degree or another. But this was a, you know, from a congressional standpoint, a pretty exciting time. And in terms of what it means for people who work for the government, also not a bad time. I mean, not an unexciting time.
And so as one who has been following this stuff closely for so many years, what looks significant to you that we ought to really look at and say this is going to be having some effect in the year ahead?
I did come up with something of a top five list. The most obvious one, and many of them are things that sort of didn't happen, but sort of number five on my list, I guess, would be the fact that five members of Congress are running for president. They all have different ideas about how they would reshape the government and the balance of power between the executive and the legislative branch. You know, we haven't had five members of Congress running for president in a long time, so that's been pretty fascinating. And the range of them, from Bernie Sanders on the left to probably Ted Cruz farthest to the right, has been pretty interesting. Now it's down to just four with Lindsey Graham's exit. But as the year went on, that was my number five.
I guess a related phenomenon to that idea of people running for Congress to change that relationship is that how many programs have been challenged in court over the last couple of years? Everything from Obamacare to an agriculture department to change the way chickens are inspected.
That's right, and so obviously one important thing that I think many voters around the country don't think about when they think about how they're going to cast their vote for president, but maybe some government employees will or should is looking ahead as to what type of people or what's the attitude that these next presidents would have, not only to the balance of power, executive power versus legislative power, but executive power versus judicial power. What kind of people would they put on the court?
And I guess we can't make any predictions at this point with the volatility of the situation. So let's move on to number four in your estimation.
Well, number four, I guess you would have to say the fact that this is one of these not things. Congress did not get in the way for a third straight year of a federal pay raise. They denied themselves a pay raise for, I think it's the eighth year in a row, but they did allow the normal COLA for federal employees to go through. That was part of the that was sort of a dog that didn't bite in the year-end budget deal. It was, I think, a sign that while the small government conservatives are still a force, beating on the federal workforce, I think, seems to have faded as a theme.
Well, I guess the old saying used to be liberals love humanity but hate people, and conservatives love people but hate humanity. Either way, both sides would find a reason to help out the federal workforce that they come in contact with so often.
Interesting point. These are their people. Obviously, a member of Congress doesn't deal with, they deal with the legislative branch people most often, but plenty of them hear from federal agency officials and actually, you know, put in inquiries and have conversations, and I guess they're showing a soft side.
And by the way, on that pay raise, did that also apply to congressional branch employees, the 30,000 or so staff members of Congress and the Hill?
That's actually a different deal. The way it works is that in that budget deal, legislative branch employees, they essentially got a frozen budget. Each member of Congress's budget was frozen. Members of Congress, though, can decide within that budget whether they want to give their own employees a raise.
What's your number three story?
I guess the number three story would be that they started to break some gridlock by doing two really important bills that have been long overdue on two important bits of federal domestic policy. I think the fact that Congress came together at the end of the year and did a rewrite of the so-called No Child Left Behind law and transportation policy, the surface transportation policy, this gives, if nothing else, gives federal workers in two big domestic aspects of the government a degree of certainty. And I think, you know, when I talk to federal employees, that's what they want as much as anything, is a sense of certainty in that the programs that they're administering and that they're trying to carry out will not be either, you know, kicked down the road for short periods of time or suspended altogether, and this gives them some certainty.
Yeah, because a couple of years ago, there was a lapse in transportation funding, and everything from new lobby developments at different airports, tower projects, and also all the highway and local projects that are closer to the average individual did, in fact, come to a halt, and that really didn't do anyone much good.
6 or 7 weeks, a couple of summers ago, and it was extremely disruptive.
All right, so that idea of certainty, I guess maybe that also applied finally to the Defense Department, too.
That's true. The Defense Department has been, however, a shining light of an exception that proves the rule, I guess, which is that the National Defense Authorization Act did get done, but that is, of all the routine reauthorization bills that are supposed to happen in Congress, that's the only one that virtually always does. I mean, in fact, always in essentially everybody's working lifetime. It's been since, I think, 1961 or 1962, so more than 50 years ago was the last time there was no defense authorization bill. So the Defense Department has had a degree of predictability and certainty that many other agencies and departments haven't had.
We're speaking with David Hawkings. He is the senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And so moving up the line to what's your number two top story from the past year for
Well,
Congress?
I guess number two would be the mixed record for the so-called House Republican Freedom Caucus. This might sound a little bit too political, but I think it is important for government employees to know that while, yes, in the middle of the year, their sort of revolutionary ardor, their combative conservative ardor did lead to the departure of John Boehner, that after that happened and after Paul Ryan arrived as the new Speaker of the House, the way I see it, there's been a fading of their influence. They tried to continue their revolution a little bit by getting some of their own members elected to the Council of Elders in Congress. They put up four candidates, only one of them won. I see it as the end of the year, as this might have been the time where their revolutionary zeal peaked, and for federal workers, what that means is this sort of confrontational showdown, shutdown attitude of Congress may be fading for the foreseeable future.
And where would you place, say, Jason Chaffetz, you know, from the Oversight and Government Reform Committee in the House? He's a pretty conservative Republican, but not quite with that group. Where would you place him on that spectrum? Because he was pretty tough on several agencies like the Secret Service over the past
year. He
was,
and I think his sort of oversight zeal is going to continue, but even Chaffetz is not a member of this Freedom Caucus, and I think in the end sees himself as a little bit more mainstream than that. As some people may remember, he thought seriously about running for Speaker after John Boehner left and decided against it. I think his confrontational ardor, I would also say, seems to be at least holstered for the time being.
And that speaker job doesn't look like a lot of fun because now Paul Ryan is running into, backing into propellers too and could get ground up in the whole thing.
He could, but I think I would say that since he took over 12 weeks ago, he's actually been able to dodge the propellers pretty easily.
All right, so it hasn't trimmed his beard off yet. And let's move on to your number one story.
So I guess the number one story I think is relatively obvious, which is that the John Boehner on his way out the door, and then Paul Ryan executing it with Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, they came up with a plan that eased the so-called sequester spending caps that provided just enough breathing room for the appropriators to write a bill that at the end of the year that actually gave plenty of agencies what they wanted. They got an omnibus done. There was no shutdown. There was no continuing resolution. There is at least certainty for all federal programs and agencies through next September. And as part of this deal, they actually have already what they call a top line on discretionary spending for the year that begins, the budget year that begins a month before the election and leads through the first 8 or 9 months of the next president's term. So they sort of set the stage for as easy and certain and predictable a budget cycle as we've seen in many, many years.
All right, and it's just a couple of days until the ball drops and we enter the new year. What are you looking for, briefly, very first, when they do come back in 2016?
Oh gosh, they're not going to start with too much of a bang. There's only some small stuff. They're going to have a big debate over Puerto Rico, of all things. It's going to be one of the first debates of the year, whether to allow Puerto Rico's bankruptcy protections to be like the rest of the country's, which would actually help the Puerto Rican financial crisis. But it is going to be a year of small expectations. Presidential election years are always that way. Congress is going to be around for fewer days than normal. They are going to start, as I say, the ball rolling on the appropriations process for the new year. That seems to be, I think most Republican leaders would be pretty happy to run for re-election on the notion that they'd restored some semblance of regular order to the budget process.
All right, well, we'll have to see what happens. David Hawkins is senior editor of CQ Roll Call. Thanks so much for that analysis.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.